You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, it's been a little while. We recorded technically last night, but neither you or I were of sound mind or body. So how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling a lot better today. I honestly barely remember recording last night. That's how tired I was. Yeah. And so I had to listen back this morning to the podcast, and I forgot a couple of the things that I said. Completely sober. Worked basically like a probably 14-hour day, and I was very tired, and I'm sorry that I came across as cranky on the podcast.
I was also sober and also do not remember anything
from what we talked about. Doubt that, but
we've reached the point of the season. It was funny, we were walking out of Spectrum Sportsnet and Coach Pete, your internet dad.
I like to call him Coach Dad.
Okay, so Coach Dad asks me as we're walking out, man, so who do they got? They have Spurs next, right? And I just told them, we've reached the portion of the season where it's just, oh, the Lakers play today? Okay, cool.
I do not know what day it is the majority of days when I wake up. The only time that I know what day it is when, like, somebody's like, oh, we're still doing this thing on Wednesday, right? And I'm like, okay, yeah, checks calendar to see when Wednesday is.
Yeah, last night I could have sworn it was Thursday. Today was going to be Thursday.
And yeah, I thought for some reason, like, I'm so worn down that I thought that I was at the Hawks game, and I was not at the Hawks game. I'm not even kidding. My interest, so I've been doing like the stand-ups after the game just to work on like my broadcast skills, and my lead-in was almost Link. For the second video Link. In a row, Link. I'm talking about a Lakers win, Link. Not even Link. Realizing that I was not at their last win.
Yeah, that's pretty.
My brain is mush at this point. So we're going to talk to you guys about the Lakers and try and make salient points and, you know, all that stuff.
Hey, I've had my coffee. I'm drinking my green tea that also is caffeinated. I think I'll be good to go for this one. Yeah, Harrison, drink caffeine, so we'll find out with you.
We'll see.
Yeah. Today's show, we are going to – so I wrote an article the other day regarding Magic and where he's been and all this LeVar stuff. I was able to ask Mike Bresnahan last night for his thoughts on whether Magic should speak up at some point. And Harrison, we're going to focus on that and Stan Van Gundy and that stuff, but we decided we didn't want to yell at each other quite to that extent. But Harrison did come up with a good way to completely encapsulate the conversation. And one thing that was promised to us by Magic and by Rob Pelinka was that they were going to have an immediate effect on the culture surrounding the Lakers. And in some ways they have, and in some ways they have not. And I would argue in some ways they have had a negative effect on the culture. Shocker, I'm going to be the negative one here. We're gonna get into all of that good stuff. As always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. Harrison is at HM Fagan on Twitter. I am at Anthony Irwin LA on Twitter. All right, Harrison, you came up with this topic, so I'll let you frame it. I'll let you do your thing.
Well, so it's almost been a year now. Magic was officially completed his palace coup a couple days before the trade deadline last year, which I remember was just a dream for us bloggers, where it's like, you know, just trying to rest up a little bit before all the trade rumors really start to hit that Thursday or whatever it was. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I need to write 12 posts today because there's a million things coming out about Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka and the Lakers and Jeannie Buss and her intentions and Jim Buss and he being out and all this stuff. So thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciated that. But it's been almost a year since then. And I think it's definitely been long enough that we can start to see the rough outlines of the ways that the Lakers have changed. And so I thought that it would be worth discussing, given that they promised this culture change, that they were going to fix the Lakers, they were going to make the Lakers great again. And I think the question is, like, have they? And in what ways have they changed the culture? And, like, is everything for the better? Have they solved all the problems? I would say probably not. But how much have they fixed things, or if they have at all, or how different are things? And I don't know. I mean, I think that you and I have differing opinions on this. I think one of the things that we talked about in terms of the way that the Lakers culture has changed is not necessarily the internal actual culture, but probably the biggest change is the perception of the team. Since those two guys took over, the way that the media talks about the Lakers has completely 100% shifted. And while that might not be fixing internally, like, what's going on, like, that's like saying, like, a house fire is put out just because you can't see it anymore. Like, the house looks fine on the outside, but it's just, like, all burning on the inside. But, and I'm not saying that the Lakers are burning down on the inside, but the outside of the house looks pretty good, at least the way that the media frames it to, I would say, the majority of fans. And so I think that probably fan perception, I know that when I talk to people just on the street or at games or whatever, the way that people talk about the Lakers and the amount of trust that they have in Magic Johnson and to a lesser degree Rob Pelinka to fix the team and the amount of positivity that there is about these changes has shifted. And so in some ways, I think that perception is a little bit of a culture change because it just means that the Lakers aren't a total laughingstock all the time anymore. I mean, during that 9-game losing streak, things got pretty dark, but for the most part this year, I think that the way that people talk about the Lakers has been a lot more positive, and that is somewhat of a culture shift, I would say, right?
Yes, and I want to expand on that and touch on some of the things that you brought up there. And before we do, I just want to make sure everybody knows that Harrison and I aren't expecting ground floor up changes in a calendar year.
That is of course not. Like, to say that the Lakers were going to be title contenders in a year would be asinine. But, yeah. Like, just what changes have they made? And, like, do things appear to be on the right track?
And I think the other thing that gives us the leeway to have this conversation when we're having it is that they said, Magic and Pelinka both said that they were going to immediately affect the culture surrounding the Lakers. That those changes, you're going to feel those changes immediately. And in some ways they have, in some ways they have not, and in some ways they have gotten worse. And we're going to get to that here in a second. Magic, I would agree with you that the way that the team has been covered is a direct result of Magic Johnson being in power, right? So to a certain extent, I would say that a lot of the changes regarding the Lakers were going to happen no matter who took over for Mitch and Jim, because the change was going to be exciting. Without change, progress is impossible, right? And so had Mitch and Jim been around to go through yet another season that is a carbon copy of the last few seasons, then I think the sentiment around the team would be significantly less positive and significantly more negative. The other thing, too, though, that I would be remiss to not mention is that I'm going to try to say this without sounding like I'm taking a direct shot at the people covering the team. But look, if Mitch and Jim were in power and the Lakers were sliding the way they were, and Mitch was there at practice and Jim Buss was there at practice, and neither of them were made available to the media, you would have had 4 or 5 articles about where's the leadership on this team, who's going to step up while this organization is spinning its tires in the mud. And I'm the My article out there on Lakers Outsiders is the only one of its kind right now.
That's not true. Tim Bontemps had something. I saw something on ESPN about it. I think it was Ramona that wrote it, actually. There have been people that have definitely put the fire to their feet about not making these people available. And I believe the OC Register wrote a separate story on them on Rob and Magic not wanting to talk about LeVar.
Well, so I think those are two separate things. Not so that it's an organizational policy at this point, right? That's their explanation that they've been leaning on, is that they don't want to legitimize LeVar Ball's comments by addressing them. Which, look, I would disagree with. I
think the first time, sure, but yeah. When he continues to do it and it continues to get more and more attention, mm-hmm. It's legitimized.
Yeah, ESPN has it. It's legit.
That's what I'm saying. ESPN has a reporter just following LeVar around, writing up whatever he says. It's been legitimized. Lakers not commenting on it. No readers are no readers that read these stories are like, oh, but the Lakers didn't comment. This isn't legit.
So here's how I would kind of put it. Here's how I would frame why I think Magic should speak up and say something, is because there are three faces right now of the Lakers: Lonzo, Luke, and Magic. Luke is the one under fire by Lonzo's dad, and Lonzo didn't exactly put any kind of ringing endorsement, right? I would play for any coach. And Magic has been quiet on this front. So the people who are looking to the Lakers' quote-unquote leadership are sitting there saying, well, wait, does Luke actually have the backing of the organization? And I don't think Magic stepping out publicly is going to shut up LeVar. I think LeVar is going to keep saying things because it benefits LeVar to keep saying things. But if Magic just steps out and says, look, LeVar can say what he wants, but he in no way, shape, or form represents the feeling of the organization. He in no way, shape, or form, Magic could go so far as to say, he isn't getting his information from Lonzo. He could, if he comes out and he says anything like that, then Luke gets the backing of the organization. And people can literally now look at LeVar's statements as, oh, he's just some parent who was upset because his son did not meet his lofty expectations in his rookie season. And that's where I think Magic has kind of fallen short. And that's what I wrote, is that, yes, he is not technically – it's not apples to apples to compare him and Mitch, where Mitch would have stepped up and had one of those press conferences or one of those appearances on Spectrum Sportsnet or ESPN with a Laker employee and said nothing – while speaking words, right? That's how Mitch would have handled this already. But Magic was hired to help the PR. Magic was hired because he has that famous Magic Johnson smile. He was hired because he is Laker and Los Angeles royalty. And as such, I think he needs to step up and do his job here. And that's where I would say this is where I would make the argument that it hurts the Lakers culture, because he is not doing what Mitch would have previously done.
Should we talk about this a little bit more here in a second?
No, we still have a little bit of time.
Okay. Well, then I would say that I get what you're saying about supporting Luke and supporting and trying to nip this in the bud and delegitimize it. But I think in some ways that Magic coming back at LeVar, there are downsides to that too. I think
it might ostracize Lonzo.
Yes, exactly. He's blasting the father of the player that they consider the future of the franchise. And Lonzo doesn't necessarily need to be coddled. There are going to be people that say oh no, but the organization, it's about the jersey and it's about the organization and it's bigger than any one player. But do you really need to make that relationship more complicated if you don't need to? And I'm not sure that they need to. And I think that the other thing is we're talking about the culture.
Can I stop you really quickly right there? Because this is an interesting point. I think this is an interesting dynamic to discuss, is that people are interested in coddling Luke, who is older than Lonzo and in a position of power compared to Lonzo. And yet people would frame it as, Lonzo doesn't need to be coddled. Oh, wait, we have to defend Luke from Lonzo's dad. I think that's an interesting dynamic to discuss.
Yeah, I mean, like, Luke is an adult, and he seems to be handling this pretty well. I mean, yesterday at shoot-around, he shut down the Lonzo LeVar stuff himself. Like, he got another question about it, and he said, I'm not answering any more questions about that. Mm-hmm. And then, like, and he made that joke about that he had benched Lonzo because his dad was talking crap.
One of the greatest quotes any coach has ever given.
The best part of it is the uncomfortable, like, peak office-level cringy silence afterwards when the media can't really tell if they're allowed to laugh. And then Luke finally breaks and, like, cracks a smile and says he's just kidding, and then everybody starts laughing. But, yeah, I mean, I think Luke's fine. Like, I don't think that this is really a big thing for him. You have the other players step up and defend him and, like, say that they have, like, he hasn't lost them and he hasn't lost the locker room. And I mean, any time that you're debating in the media whether or not the coach has lost the locker room, that's not really, like, a great thing, I would imagine. But it's a complicated thing. And the Lakers, like, they don't need to be making their relationship with Lonzo and LeVar more complicated than it needs to be by having Magic jump out in the media and, you know, give some sit down to ESPN, or, hey, like, Magic, come on Locked On Lakers and just, like, blast LeVar. Like, I don't know that necessarily is helping things. And I think it's not just necessarily the relationship with Lonzo and that people are like, oh, we need to, like, protect Luke, but, like, forget about Lonzo. Like, you know, forget this is dad and it's probably complicated for him. I think the other thing too is we were talking about the culture shift and the perception as far as the locker room goes and as far as, like, the Lakers go publicly, does that help the perception if it's seen as, like, Magic Johnson engaging in a war of words through the media with LeVar? I don't know that that necessarily helps this. I also don't know that it's necessarily worse than what's going on right now, because we don't know, because we haven't seen it and how people will react to it. But I don't know that it's necessarily better to have them getting into a feud through the media and whether that makes the Lakers look any better.
I don't think Magic would get criticized for joining in a quote-unquote war of words with Lonzo for a couple of reasons. And we're going to get to those reasons here in a second. So first and foremost, I think there's a middle ground between not commenting and declaring war on LeVar Ball. Right. There's just
like the Lakers have declared war on Big Baller Brand. Big ballers everywhere will be eradicated.
World War 3B, right?
Oh my God.
So I think there's a middle ground there, and I think Magic just simply saying, look, LeVar can have his opinions, and all. He doesn't even have to single out LeVar, right? He could just say, look, parents can make their statements about the way that Luke coaches all they want. But at the end of the day, there is zero chance that it affects the direction of this organization, right? That's it. That's all he has to say. Because that's all that anybody's really worried about, right? When people do worry about whether LeVar's statements have an effect on Luke, it's not from the standpoint of Luke's psyche in handling this. It's will LeVar's quotes have an impact on the direction of the organization in terms of its coaching decisions? And if Magic says it won't, then we kind of have to take his word for it not. And the other reason that I don't think he would get criticized for saying just this or going at LeVar in any way, shape, or form is because LeVar isn't all that popular. Like, and Magic is hugely popular, especially throughout the media. And this is the other thing that I kind of wanted to get back to is, and again, I'm going to speak as carefully as I possibly can, but there's a reason Woj didn't write some hit piece about Magic not being available. It happens to, in my opinion, coincide with the fact that Woj has been able to get scoops from the Lakers that he hasn't been able to over the last few years. There's a reason why other members of the local...
With that thing specifically, you can connect some dots where, you know, Woj, towards the end of Kobe's career, got a lot of Kobe scoops.
Yeah.
And since this new regime has gotten a lot of Lakers scoops, yeah. So...
Well, and Ramona Shelburne was at one point a colleague of Magic Johnson's, right? I mean, they worked together at ESPN. So it's not a huge logical step to say that Ramona's gonna, and I'm sure Ramona really liked working with Magic. Magic seems like an insanely charismatic person. So I could see why maybe Ramona would, for lack of a better term, protect Magic at least this early on in what's been going on here, right? Or in Magic and Palenka's tenure. And that extends throughout this stuff. Jeannie is hugely popular in the media, as evidenced by her ability to basically take over the organization from Jim Buss with nary a negative word about it and about the way that she did it. And
yeah, well, I mean, Jeannie talks to the media, Jim Buss didn't. I mean, that we've seen time and time again in the NBA and in sports coverage and really in any coverage as a whole, that will make a difference in the way that you get covered.
And this is where I would say that Magic's hiring is paying dividends in the way that you were talking about and how this team is being covered differently and given the benefit of the doubt that maybe they haven't earned, but they're being given it anyway because of that impact of just being nice to the media.
And I also think that you're going to get the benefit of the doubt more when you're newer, right? Mm-hmm. Because Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak had many years to turn this around.
Yeah.
And so when they kept, like when the Lakers kept coming back and being bad year after year, when they said that when everyone was told, you know, this is going to be the year where the team is a little better or where they're a little bit more respectable, eventually you lose that benefit of the doubt. Magic Johnson hasn't even been in the job a year, mm-hmm. and neither has Rob Pelinka.
I don't know if it's been a year or whatever, but
it hasn't been a year because they came in like around the trade deadline last year.
You're right.
And so it hasn't even been a full year, mm-hmm. and they haven't gotten a full season. And so I think that when that is the case, and especially with most people understanding and being having enough common sense to understand that this stuff takes time, that they were not expected to fix the Lakers immediately. So there wasn't this guillotine hanging over their head like there was with Buss and Kupchak because of that stupid artificial deadline that I'm so glad that we don't have to write about anymore.
Yeah, I'm happy that that is not in our lives anymore.
The most annoying thing. Every single interview, just reconfirming the deadline. It's like, oh, got to write about that again. No, don't worry, guys. It's still this date.
Things would be going well, and then Jeannie would pop up and say, "Hey, guys, we still have this deadline.
Just so you know, it's got to be better by this specific date." That Jim Buss was dumb enough to just say on the record.
Yeah, unbelievable.
He hung his own noose.
And I mean, again, it gets back to being media savvy and understanding how the media works. And he somehow did both terribly. He made things harder on himself by having that timeline, and then at no point did he feel like it was necessary to step up and say, okay, that timeline might have been kind of stupid. Like, at no point did he say, yeesh, that might have been not a good move, and that allowed Jeannie to slide in there and say, hey, that timeline is still working out. And again, the culture, we're talking about two different things right now, I think. Culture and identity or perception are two different things. But from the from just the standpoint of perception of the franchise, the Lakers are in a better place. And these guys, whether they deserve it or not, they're going to get credit for it.
And so that is a big change, and that's not an insignificant change. That matters, especially in the way that free agents are going to view the Lakers, and agents are going to view the Lakers, and other teams are going to view the Lakers when dealing with them and talking about them, and like the way that the media is going to cover the Lakers, and so the way that the fans are going to feel about the Lakers. And that stuff matters. But how much have things actually changed? I think that that's also worth getting into. The perception certainly changed, but in terms like the record, the Lakers may end up being worse than they were last year. That's still on the table. And like, you know, they were talking about, we're going to bring in all these high character guys. But then you mentioned like KCP was just in jail, literally, for like mm-hmm. 25 days.
Yep.
And the guy, Jameel Wilson, that they were rumored to be signing has now been accused of, I believe it was sexual battery, right?
Yep. Sexual battery and fraud.
And who's to say, like, the Lakers may not have known that that was going to be the case when they were thinking about signing him. And they haven't signed him yet. And so, like, they can't really be necessarily like lambasted for that. They may not have known, and they haven't signed him since that stuff came out, so they may have just decided to go in another direction, which I think would probably be the wise choice in this
case. But again,
it's like you can't talk up culture and character and all of this stuff and then have all of these things continue to happen.
It would be nice, again, so we talked about how this new front office administration has handled PR. It would be nice if somebody came out and said, hey, by the way, we were thinking about signing this guy, we found out this stuff, and after doing our research, we decided we're going to go in a different direction. Now, maybe that by the time this...
I mean, they don't necessarily need to comment on it because it was a leak that they were going to sign him. So they could just say that, like, we were never going to sign him. That was, like, a false report.
Well, yeah, but I think at some point they should maybe say something about it.
Right? I don't know. I mean, they never announced it. I don't think that that's totally necessary.
I think in 2018, given the stigma around sexual misconduct, I think you kind of have to. you can't act as if those ties didn't happen. But look, I think they signed KCP while understanding what they were going to get into. Now, maybe they didn't know that he was going to have to spend a month in jail during the season and wouldn't be able to play road games, and his game slipped considerably because of that situation over that time frame, and then now he's out of jail, or all of that situation is behind him and he's playing really well. So it's kind of easy to correlate the time he was in the clink and the time that he was not playing very well, and the impact of the decision of paying somebody who would eventually have to spend time in jail. 18 million. I think he's the highest paid. No, I think, is Brooke Lopez paid more than him?
I believe he's second. I think Brooke Lopez is higher.
Yeah, so, but if your second highest paid player is going to miss a month in the season, you can't pat yourself on the back for saying, or he didn't miss a month, but if a month.
And then they still gave him free reign to do whatever he wanted during that whole time.
Yeah, and they because also.
He has the same agent as LeBron.
They also, by the way, let go of an actually good culture guy, David Nwaba, who everybody loved and was the kind of hard worker that it sounded like they were going to build off of or build with. They let him go to pay the guy that eventually had a month of a season impacted by an actual jail situation. They let that guy go to pay that guy an extra $500K.
Yeah, and again, it's like the Lakers didn't necessarily know that KCP was going to end up, they probably didn't know that he was going to end up spending a month in jail during the season, but like he was there because he violated the terms of his parole. Like that's, you know, like I don't want to make this stuff seem like less than it is by like talking about it in basketball terms, but it's like that's the kind of thing, like that's a bad example for the young guys on this team. Like that's not the type of veteran that you want to have around young guys, and like the hindsight is 2020, so it's easy for me to I don't want to criticize them too harshly for that, because it's like I didn't know that he was going to violate the terms of his parole, and like they probably didn't know that, but it's a bad look, and especially when they talk as publicly about how much they want to change the culture and they want to only have hard workers and they want to only have good guys and good Lakers and champion mentalities and whatever. And just to have that happen is, I think, an incredibly bad look.
And look, people, go ahead, everybody, take a drink, because I'm going to mention this again. But they crapped on Russell out the door. They leaked all kinds of stuff about how, and Brian Shaw, it was a hot mic situation. But if he's saying that to a member of the media with a hot mic on, you can imagine that that's the kind of stuff that they were saying behind closed doors as an organization, as Russell was leaving. And we haven't heard anything like that about Russell in Brooklyn. Now, he's been...
Well, hurt. I mean, we will if and when he leaves. Yeah, I mean, that's...
Sure,
just,
yeah.
Like, that's just kind of how this stuff goes. Everybody's going to talk everyone up while they're there.
But
I mean, whispers about the D'Angelo Russell stuff. Like, it was not hard to tell while he was here.
Okay, but I don't need to hear about D'Angelo Russell's character because his greatest crime was was videotaping somebody admitting to infidelity. Like,
yeah,
I don't need to hear about that when there's an actual criminal on the Lakers. Like, I don't need
true.
To hear.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's like, I mean, we said this. It's like, it's a, you know, D'Angelo Russell got penalized for something for that when like there was actual criminal activity that is apparently like less bad because it's not leaking your teammates' infidelity. But I think the other thing that, you know, like KCP, very easy guy to get along with. Russell, not so much. And so I think that I'm sure factored into that decision.
The last,
and it's not like it's 1-to-1, even though they're both wearing number one and they were wearing the exact same number. It's not like they were like, oh, we have to get rid of Russell because we're going to sign KCP. His crimes are better. And, you know, like that's not how the conversation went. But it's also one of those things where, you know, it's just not the greatest look. It's like, we didn't want this guy because he's bad for culture, so we signed this guy who's been going to go to jail for 25 days.
The last way that I would say that the culture, in my opinion, hasn't changed in a way that I was hoping it would change, and I think in a way that the players might have been hoping it would change, is this edict that the Lakers are still star chasers, and that is going to take the... That is the number one priority for the off season, and that has been the number one priority for the prior few off seasons. And look,
the new plan, same as the old plan.
We've seen charismatic guys. Like I mentioned earlier, this season is following a very similar path as last season, right? Almost to the date that this team started struggling, right? And
yeah.
And look, I wrote about this as well in that eventually you can't expect guys to buy into the organization if they don't feel like the organization would buy into them. And if the organization does buy into them, it's because their great plans fell through, right? And, you know, it's interesting. I keep hearing people kind of crap on Julius Randle for his up and down play and his sulking and this and that and the other. But I come back to, just imagine yourself working in whatever walk of life that you work, and you knew the entire time that you were there that at the end of your calendar year of this contract, or however long you're going to be there by the end of this year, that you were going to get walking papers, and it could even happen earlier if the right deal comes along. And now, yes, this is inherent, and this is one of the things that Caron Butler and James Worthy both said, is that it's just part of the business. But that doesn't mean that these people aren't still people, right? Caron Butler and James Worthy were both good enough, and Worthy was in a situation, too, where the Lakers were a championship team the entire time he was there. So they weren't going to make some huge change in the personnel of that team. There weren't rumors swirling around Worthy, nor the coverage of the rumors that are swirling around Randall. And Caron Butler, yes, he was actually traded.
He got dealt a bunch of times.
When he was traded, it sounded to me like it was more of something that he and his people kind of were okay with, because, like he said, the numbers game, right? That he wasn't sure that the numbers were going to work out in Los Angeles. So, look, I think I was hoping that this season would be a little different from last season, and that these guys would step in and Magic initially said that he was going to buy into the youth movement and this young core and all these things, and he said all the right things, and it only led to what? Right? It led to the same rumors, and it led to the same trajectory of the season. And you can't step in and say that you're going to change the culture and have the exact same stigma around your team that the previous administration had.
No, and then when things are going down in flames like this, with LeVar saying Luke's lost the locker room and the players having meetings and there being, you know, rumors that the team is not happy with how Randall played or is playing and stuff like that, like there's dysfunction here. Like, there's sourced dysfunction. And is that the type of situation that a free agent wants to come on and join? And I'm not sure that it is. I don't know that it is. I don't know that this is, like, for all the talk of, like, there's positivity in the media and there's positivity among the fans, is there really positivity among free agents? We've talked about this a couple times, but is LeBron really making his decision because his agent says the Lakers treated KCP really well? Like, LeBron's going to be treated well wherever he goes. And so, like, I don't know that all this stuff has made – we'll see when free agency comes around. But I don't know that all this stuff has made the difference that people think it might make or that the Lakers think it might make.
Well, it gets back to – I mocked Russell Westbrook for saying that his free agency pitch to Paul George is going to be the championship that they win because they aren't going to win a championship. Like, that's why I mocked it. But that's the angle that the Lakers should have taken this year. They should have said, look, we are going to win as many games as we possibly can. And that is, and that success and that those steps forward is going to be what drives the conversation when we talk to a LeBron or a Paul George or a Bookie Cousins. You look up at the standings right now, Paul George's Oklahoma City Thunder are well within playoff range. Bookie Cousins' New Orleans Pelicans are in the playoffs right now. LeBron James's Cavaliers are still going to enter the Eastern Conference Finals as favorites to play the Golden State Warriors in the finals, right? And
yep.
Yes, sure. KCP gets to shoot an extra three-pointer per game. Awesome. Great. That doesn't
change. Yeah, Rich Paul is not sending LeBron vines of like, hey, did you see the shot they let KCP take? Man, it's going to be fun with the Lakers next year.
You get to shoot the ball off the backboard all you want, LeBron.
And so, and that's what I get back to, is I don't know that the culture really has changed that much. I mean, I guess they're, you know, if they continue to bring, maybe they feel like if they continue to bring in their guys and they continue to take their shots in free agency, they can make more changes that they want. But for now, I don't know that that much has fundamentally shifted. I think the biggest difference probably is that the biggest functional actual difference, as we're kind of wrapping this up, to me, has been that the team is actually buying in on defense this year.
Or they were. And I don't know outside that you can really credit. Stretch, right? That stretch that they weren't.
Yeah, except for that 9-game stretch where they weren't. But in recent games, like, I know they've been playing worse teams, but they've been back to trying on defense. And early on in the season, they were a good defense. And so I think, but like, how much do we credit Rob and Magic for that? And how much of that is just Luke being in his second year and figuring out what works? But I mean, Magic and Rob got him the players, and maybe they got him players that are going to buy in more. And I don't know where the credit goes for that. And some of the credit obviously goes to the players just for buying in and trying hard on defense. And so how much of that is like the Lakers culture changing, and how much of that is just the growth of young players? So I don't know. I don't know how much it's, I just don't feel like things have changed that much, to be honest, other than the coverage and like the defense, I guess.
And again, so, it gets back to, have they changed as much as they were promised to, they were going to change in a short amount of time? And they have not.
They haven't, but that was, I mean, they were never going to.
Right. Well, but still, I mean, at one point,
it's like we say about the LeVar stuff or whatever, where like he's, people are like, oh, Lonzo has to do this because LeVar said he would. It's like, no, any reasonable person knew that he was not going to do that. So, like, I think we can apply the same thing to Magic and Rob, where it's like, they're like, yeah, we're going to turn things around. We're going to make the Lakers like this and that. And it's like, okay, like, yeah, that's the type of stuff you just say at a press conference. But that, you're not going to get that done in a year. Like, anyone with a brain knows that.
I would agree to a certain extent. At some point, you just become another politician who... Like, if that is what you're expecting of the people who are in leadership positions, then you're going to keep getting lied to, right?
Yeah, well, at some point, that's the type of – like, they weren't dumb enough to put a deadline on it. And so that's the thing. Like, in another year, if we are not seeing significant changes, then I think that you start to criticize them a little bit. But for now, I mean, they still have yet to take – Their big swing right now was drafting Lonzo, but probably anyone would have done that. And so, and trading D'Angelo. And so I think you can't really start to judge their plan until they get to take that first big swing. And that will be this summer. And if they completely whiff, then they will be justifiably lambasted for that.
Maybe. Not based on what I've seen from...
I will,
but I don't know if we'll necessarily see it.
Yeah, you will, no matter what. Like, if they sign LeBron and Paul George, you're going to lambast them for how much better they could have been if they had still had D'Lo on the roster. Like, you know.
Fair point. Hashtag D'Lo for life. I do want to ask this question, because it's a question that has kind of been in the back of my brain, is what would that accountability look like? Like, you can't fire Magic Johnson.
That's the thing. It's like, I don't know. Like, I remember Pete and Darius talked about, like, this specific question last week on their podcast of, like what would it take to, like, for them to let go of Magic Johnson? And, like, I don't know that that plane of existence exists, like, happens. Like, Magic's got to step down. Like, yeah. If anything, like, it would not be Jeannie Fires Magic. It would be Magic saying, I couldn't do what I thought I could do. I'm bringing in this person to finish the job or to take over for me. And I'm sorry I let you down, Laker Nation.
I would see it would probably be framed as like, oh, I have other opportunities.
Too many business interests.
Yeah, exactly.
Very busy with my Starbucks.
Yeah. And Magic's or Pelinka's career would be effectively over.
Pelinka would say that he needs to get back, you know, to like, go get, no, not get back to being an agent. He's going to go back to like delivering mana from heaven elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Good point. It's all interesting stuff. And again, this isn't, I don't want to make it sound as if this is Harrison and I taking pot shots at the front office. I think these are questions that need to be asked and answered. Preferably by Magic at some point. Like, it's some, you can't go on some media tour to first get the job, then after you get the job, talk about how great you are in the job, and then not be as great as you promised you would be in the job, and disappear off the face of the earth. Like, that's not.
Well, he didn't disappear. He took a selfie with a small child who won a contest at Staples Center last night. It was he's around. Didn't disappear.
Do you think that we need to start feeding questions to small children to ask Magic, hey, what's
just, just plants in the free throw contest during the first quarter at Staples. Like, Magic comes up and he's like, hey, kid, like, it's nice to meet you. I'm Magic Johnson.
Hey,
like,
what's happening with Randall?
Yeah, and then he's like, oh, no, they've invaded the children.
Oh, man, it's too bad I'm fat and no longer as baby face as I used to be, or else I try to pull this off. But
you have a little brother. We can make this happen.
Done. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Just kidding. We aren't going to do this. It's going to be...
Wink,
yeah, wink, wink. I winked at the camera.
Well, it's hard to tell because you're always blinking at the camera, but that's a different...
You know, so I figured this out last... You were making fun of me for doing this during my first stand-up, and I was like, man, I must have just been really nervous because I didn't realize I was blinking that much. But, like, no joke, those lights on those cameras are bright. And, yeah. I take pain meds for my back, and they make me more sensitive to light. And so, like, those lights are no joke. And so I was, like, really having to focus last night to try and blink less. And I don't know if it... accomplish
you
what
gotta,
I wanted.
You gotta go the Jack Nicholson route and just wear sunglasses.
Yeah, well, you're the one that told me to wear a cap, and so, like, that was very mean and hurtful. And then, like, and then somebody, I'm not gonna name this reporter, but somebody was giving me crap at the game last night, and they were like, yeah, I mean, some people would rather have a homeless person than Serena deliver their Lakers news to them. And I was like, that was really mean, just because I forgot to shave that first day. I was not planning on the first video going out. And so, you know,
you did look supremely haggard. It was pretty great.
Yeah, well, you know, I cleaned up a little bit. Some viewers said that I was looking like a snack. So I don't know.
That's interesting. Yeah. A fruit roll up maybe. But I was. we were there at the Spectrum Studio, and at one point, one of the lights panned over to me, just because sometimes instead of turning them off, They do that thing where the light just pans elsewhere in the studio, and it was directly on me. And yeah, those things are bright. Those things,
it is like not only painful in your eyes, but you start to like sweat a little bit. It is like broadcast journalism is no joke. I was not prepared. I'm doing my best.
Somewhere out there, some coal miner is calling us a snowflake.
Yeah, that's 100%. I mean, whatever. Like they didn't listen this far in the podcast anyway. No.
All right, well, that'll do it, though. If you guys have any questions or comments or anything, as always, if you guys have anything that you want Harrison and I to talk about in our shows, make sure you send them via 5-star review and question to iTunes. Make sure you guys are joining us whenever Harrison throws out links to play on draft.com. And
These have been really fun. Like we want more people to come and play with us because it's actually like I've discovered that I like daily fantasy. I'm a little worried about how much I like it because I don't consider myself like much of a spender or like a risk taker. And like it's making me want to play more. And I don't like I don't want to like start to, you know, spend all my money on that.
Harrison may or may not have paid for fantasy tips.
Maybe.
Like, yeah. To Josh yeah. on our
I'm gonna win, Anthony. It's fine. I'm gonna get it all back. Really fun. Come play with us. I promise you guys will have fun. We always have fun.
As always, make sure you're following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. Follow Harrison on Twitter at @HMFagan, and follow me at Anthony Irwin LA. And yeah, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Thank you.